Fox presents. Outside a Gothic-style building, a blonde theater employee dances before old science fiction movie posters.
Michael Rennie was ill the day the earth stood still, but he told us where we stand. And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Clyde Rains was the invisible man. From outer space, and this is how the message ran.
A theater marquee reads Castle.
Science fiction. Tap a feature.
Patrons wait in line. Blonde sells tickets.
See androids fighting. Yep. Brad and Janet.
Inside.
And Francis Darcy. Forbidden planet. Oh, 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 oh. Happy late night. Double feature.
The blonde crosses the lobby. She tears customers' tickets.
I knew Leo G. Carroll was over a barrel when your grandchildren took to the hills. And I really got high when I saw Johnny Scott fight a triffid that spits poison and kills.
Patrons take their seats.
Double feature. Dr. X will build a creature.
A couple kisses. As an old man starts the projector, the blonde takes a seat in the balcony.
To the late night, double feature, picture show, in the back row. Oh, oh, oh. To the late night, double feature, picture show.
A close view shows her ruby red lips. The film starts. Searchlights illuminate towering gold letters. 20th Century Fox. Dripping blood creates a title. The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's do the time warp again. This program has been described with funding from Fox. Read by Therese McLaughlin. Lightning from the ceiling strikes the screen. Our view slowly descends on the steps outside a church. A photographer faces wedding guests.
Oh, here they come!
A bride and groom step outside.
all the grandparents, parents, close friends.
The happy couple poses for a photo. The groom steps away. A bespectacled man playfully punches his arm.
Hey, Ralph.
Well, guess we really did it, huh?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. You and Betty have almost been inseparable since you met in Dr. Scott's refresher courses.
To tell you the truth, Brad, that was the only reason I showed up in the first place.
A petite brunette chats with the bride.
Hey, Brad, Betty's gonna throw her bouquet.
A funeral procession streams out of the church behind Betty.
Hey, everyone, this is it. Are you ready?
The petite brunette catches the bouquet.
Hey, big fella. Looks like it could be your turn next, huh?
Who knows?
Ralph waves.
So long. See you, Brad.
The friends bump fists.
Come on now, Betty.
Brad smells his fingers. The bride and groom climb into a car. Words on the side read, "She said I do, now I'm doing." Brad taps on the classic car's hood. The bride and groom drive off. Brad watches the guests jog after the car. The petite brunette stops as the others continue on. Brad approaches her.
Oh, Brad, wasn't it wonderful? Didn't Betty look radiantly beautiful? Oh, I can't believe that an hour ago she was plain old Betty Monroe, and now she's Mrs. Ralph Hapshack.
Yes. Yes, Janet. Ralph is a lucky guy.
Yes.
He steps away, then returns.
Everyone knows Betty is a wonderful little cook.
Yes.
Why, Ralph himself, he will be in line for promotion in a year or two.
Yes.
Hey, Janet.
Yes, Brad?
She faces him.
I've got something to say.
Uh-huh.
I really love the skillful way that you beat the other girls to the bride's bouquet.
Oh, oh, Brad.
The river was deep, but I swam it.
Janet.
The future is ours, so let's plan it.
Janet.
Just please don't tell me to can it.
Janet.
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet.
I love you.
The road was long, but I ran it.
Janet.
There's a fire in my heart, and you fan it.
Janet.
If there's one fool for you, then I am it.
Janet.
Now I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet.
I love you.
Brad kneels.
Here's the ring to prove that I'm no joker.
You met Mom and you know Dad.
Oh, Brad.
I've one thing to say, and that's Brad. I'm mad for you too.
Ooh, ooh,
ooh. Oh, Brad.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, Brad.
Oh, Janet.
For you.
I love you too.
Examine it.
Janet.
Make me give you the eye and then panic.
Janet.
Now I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet.
I love you.
Damn it, Janet.
Oh, Brad, I'm mad.
Damn it, Janet. I love you.
In the theater. The audience stands as the image of a goateed man in a study comes on screen. The man holds two fingers in a peace sign.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
How strange was it?
It seemed a fairly ordinary night, when Brad Majors and his fiancée, Janet Weiss, left Denton that late October evening to visit a Dr. Everett Scott, once tutor and now friend to both of them.
Nighttime. Brad and Janet drive through heavy rain.
Gosh, that's the third motorcyclist that's passed us. They sure do take their lives in their hands, what with the weather and all.
Yes, Janet, life is pretty cheap to that type.
They come to a roadblock, and Brad slams on the brakes.
What's the matter, Brad, darling?
We must have taken a wrong fork a few miles back.
Oh, but then where did that motorcyclist come from?
Well, we're just going to have to turn back.
He reverses.
What was that bang?
We must have had a blowout. Damn it! I knew I should have had that spare tire fixed. Well, you stay here and keep warm. I will go look for help.
Where will you go? We're in the middle of nowhere.
Didn't we pass a castle back down the road a few miles? Maybe they have a telephone I could use.
Brad stares off. Janet glances at him.
I'm going with you.
Oh, no. Darling, there is no sense in both of us getting wet.
I'm coming with you. Besides, darling, the owner of that phone might be a beautiful woman, and you might never come back again.
Janet puts a newspaper over her head as they step out. In the theater, the audience does the same. Brad kicks the tire. Janet hurries after her fiancé as he walks down the dark road. Later, they emerge from a wooded area and look around.
In the velvet darkness of the blackest night, burning bright, there's a guiding star. No matter what or who you are, there's a light
over the blackest
darkness. There's a light
burning in the fireplace.
There's a light, light in the darkness of everybody's life.
Brad and Janet arrive at the condemned castle theater, where a long-haired man looks out a high window.
The darkness must go down the river of night's dreaming. Flow, Marcus, flow, let the sun and light come streaming.
On an open gate reads, "Enter at your own risk." The couple steps through and approaches the castle door.
And so it seemed that fortune had smiled on Brad and Janet, and that they had found the assistance that their plight required.
The goateed man glances at his stout assistant behind him.
Or had they?
At the castle's front door.
Oh, Brad, let's go back. I'm cold and I'm frightened.
Just a moment, Janet. They may have a telephone.
Janet nods and he knocks. Fidgeting, Brad peers into the door's windows.
Come on.
The long-haired man answers. Brad and Janet stare.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Brad Majors. This is my fiance, Janet Weiss. I was wondering if you might be able to help us. You see, our car broke down a few miles up the road. Do you have a phone we might use?
You're wet.
Yes. It's raining.
The long-haired man leers at Janet.
Yes.
Yes. I think perhaps you'd better both come inside.
You're too kind.
As the long-haired man turns away, the door starts to close. Brad holds it open for Janet, who ducks under his arm and heads inside. Carrying a candelabra, the long-haired man leads them into a large foyer.
Are you having a party?
Turning, the long-haired man smirks.
You've arrived on a rather special night. It's one of the master's affairs.
Oh, how lucky.
A maid arrives.
You're lucky. He's lucky. I'm lucky. We're all lucky.
The maid nudges them as they follow the long-haired man. They enter a small room with a coffin-shaped grandfather clock with a skeleton inside. The long-haired man dusts away cobwebs.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely. Not for very much longer. I've got to keep control. Just a jump to the left.
And a step to the right.
Put your hands on your hips.
You bring your knees in tight. But it's the velvet rush. It really drives you insane.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You bring your knees in tight. But it's the velvet rugs. They really drive you insane.
In a ballroom, a pink-haired young woman tap dances on a piano. Party guests help her down, and she continues across the room. The maid sprays a fire extinguisher, startling Brad and Janet.
It's just a jump to the left, and then a step to the right.
long-haired man, maid, pink-haired woman, and party guests collapse around Brad and Janet.
Say something.
Brad glances at his fiance.
Say, do any of you guys know how to Madison?
Brad, please, let's get out of here.
For God's sake, just get a grip on yourself, Janet.
But it seems so unhealthy here.
It's just a party, Janet.
Oh, I want to go.
Well, we can't go anywhere until I get to a phone.
Well, then ask the butler or someone.
Guests wheel a crane into the room. A cloaked figure stands on a platform atop the device.
Give it a moment, Jen. We don't want to interfere with their celebrations.
This isn't the Junior Chamber of Commerce, Brad.
They're probably foreigners with ways different than our own.
The platform lowers to the floor.
They may do some more folk dancing.
The couple backs toward it.
Brad? Look. A pole?
I'm here. There is nothing to worry about.
Janet turns around. She faints.
How do I see you've met my faithful handyman? He's just a little brought down because, did you not? He thought you were the candyman. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite.
Sweet transvestite.
From transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you around. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual, that's not too abysmal. We could take in an old Steve's movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry. So we'll just say where we are and then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worried.
You got caught with a blind. Well, how about that? Now, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite.
Sweet transvestite.
From transsexual Transylvania. For the night, or maybe a bite. I'd show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite.
Sweet
transvestite. I'm transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the celeb. I see you shiver with antism.
The shapely transvestite grins.
Say it!
Patient. But maybe the rain isn't really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
The shapely transvestite struts off and the guests follow. The long-haired man catches a red-stained cloth and dries Janet's hair. The pink-haired young woman throws another to the maid.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh!
They remove the couple's clothes.
It's all right, Janet. We'll play along for now and pull out the aces when the time is right.
This is no time for tricks, Brad.
Sucking a lollipop, the pink-haired young woman looks on.
Slowly. Slowly. It's too nice a job to rush.
Hi. My name is Brad Majors. This is my fiancée, Janet Weiss. And you are?
You're very lucky to be invited up to Frank's laboratory. Some people would give their left arm for the privilege.
People like you, maybe.
I've seen it.
Janet reaches for her skirt, but the maid stops her. The couple follows the pink-haired woman. Brad and Janet step off an elevator into a laboratory. Frank turns to face them.
Magenta, Columbia, come assist Riffraff.
The long-haired man, Riffraff, hands Frank champagne. The transvestite takes a sip.
I'll entertain.
Frank reaches out.
Brad Majors, this is my fiancée, Janet Weiss.
Weiss.
Enchanté.
Frank kisses Janet's hand.
Oh, nice. And what charming underclothes you both have. But here, put these on. They'll make you feel less vulnerable.
The couple dons lab coats.
It's not often we receive visitors here, let alone offer them hospitality.
Hospitality? All we wanted was to use your telephone. Damn it! A reasonable request, which you have chosen to ignore.
Brad? Don't be ungrateful.
Ungrateful!
Oh.
How forceful you are, Brad. Such a perfect specimen of manhood, so dominant. You must be awfully proud of him, Janet.
Yes, I am.
Do you have any tattoos, Brad?
Certainly not.
Oh, well. How about you?
Janet shakes her head. Riffraff approaches Frank from behind.
Everything is in readiness, Master. We merely await your word.
Frank hurries to a podium and microphone and addresses the party guests.
Tonight, my unconventional conventionalists, who are to witness a new breakthrough in biochemical research, and paradise is to be mine! It was strange the way it happened. Suddenly you get a break.
Frank pulls her rubber glove.
And all the pieces seem to fit into place. What a sucker you been, what a fool. The answer was there all the time, but it took a small accident to make it happen. An accident. And that's how I discovered the secret. That elusive ingredient, that spark that is the breath of life.
Janet starts to snap her fingers, but Brad stops her.
You see, you are fortunate. Well, tonight is the night. My beautiful creature is destined to be born. Hoopla. Hail.
With a flourish, Frank approaches a platform and points to Riffraff.
Throw open the switches on the sonic oscillator.
He pulls levers. Frank faces a shrouded object.
Step up the reactor power input. 3 more points.
Riffraff presses a pair of red buttons 3 times and steam erupts from the device. He fondles one of the knobs. Columbia and Magenta remove the cloth from a large object, revealing a human figure in a cooler. Riffraff turns a crank, elevating the object. As it rises toward the ceiling, words on the side read, ice cold and refreshing. Lightning strikes it. Janet clings to her fiancé.
It's all right, Janet.
The man in the ice spasms and grabs the side of the cooler. He sits up.
Rocky.
The muscular blonde glances around fearfully. Pulling himself to his feet, the blonde spreads his arms. Brad and Janet cling to each other.
The sword of Damocles is hanging over my head. And I've got the feeling someone's gonna be cutting the thread. Life is a misery, yeah. Can't you see? I'm at the start of a pretty big downer.
Frank chases Rocky.
I woke up this morning with a start when I got out of bed. And left from my dreaming was a feeling of a nameable dread. Oh my, high is low. I'm dressed up with no place to go.
Transylvanian conventionalists admire Rocky, and a man snaps his photo. Rocky blows a noisemaker at Frank, who stumbles back. Rocky shambles to a popcorn machine and stares into it. Riffraff climbs a walkway and stumbles into the muscular blonde.
The sword of Damocles is hanging over my head. And I've got the feeling someone's gonna be cutting the thread.
Rocky cowers in the ice.
Well, really, there's no way to behave on your first day out. But since you're such an exceptional beauty...
Frank strokes Rocky's hair.
I'm prepared to forgive you all. Oh, I just love success.
Here's a credit to your genius, master.
Yes.
A triumph of your will.
Yes.
He's okay.
Frank glares at Columbia.
Okay. I think we can do better than that.
Frank helps Rocky out of the cooler.
Fred, Janet, what do you think of him?
Well, I don't like men with too many muscles.
Janet smiles lovingly at Brad.
I didn't make him for you. He carries a Charles Atlas seal of approval.
In the lab, Magenta and Columbia push open shelves, revealing a weight room. Frank helps Rocky out of the cooler and leads him into it. A card hanging from a chin-up bar reads, "Happy Birthday, Rocky."
A weakling weighing 98 pounds will get sand in his face when kicked to the ground. And soon in the gym, with a determined chin, the sweat from his pores as he works for his cause will make him glisten and gleam, and with massage and just a little bit of he'll be pink and quite clean. He'll be a strong man, but the wrong man. He'll eat nutritious high protein and swallow raw eggs. Try to build up his shoulders, his chest, arms, and legs. Such an effort, if he only knew of my plan. In just 7 days, I
can make you a man. You do press-ups and chin-ups, do the snatch, clean and jerk. He thinks dynamic tension must be hard work. Such strain with living I just don't understand. When in just 7 days I can make you a man.
A man in a studded leather jacket ramps a motorcycle through a window and swerves to a stop in front of the cooler. He takes off his helmet. He tosses it to Columbia and grins. The biker dismounts.
Woo, come on!
He runs to a stage and directs a band.
Whatever happened to Saturday night? When you dressed up sharp and you felt all right? It don't seem the same since the cosmic light came into my life. I thought I was divine. I used to go for a ride with a Chicago and listen to the music on the radio. A saxophone was blowing on a rock and roll show. You climbed in the backseat.
The Transylvanians do a synchronized dance. Eddie struts across the stage. Frank looks bored. Eddie sings to Columbia.
Come on. My head is to swim from the perfume I smell. My hands kind of fumble with a white plastic belt. I taste a baby pink lipstick and that's when I melt. She whispered in my ear tonight she really was mine. Get back in front, put some heroin on. Buddy Hollywood singing his very last song. With your arms around your girl, you try to sing along. It felt pretty good, yeah. You really had a good time.
Tattoos on Eddie's knuckles read, love, hate. He rides his motorcycle up the walkway to a balcony. Watching him, Frank sneers. Ditching his motorcycle, Eddie pushes past Brad and Janet on his way back to the stage. The conventionalists rush the couple to the stage. Eddie crowd surfs. Frank approaches Eddie. Rocky bangs on the cooler. Frank grabs a long knife from a tray of surgical tools. She licks Eddie's neck, then spins him around and slashes at his chest. Backing toward the broken window, Eddie dodges her. Frank stabs Eddie in the gut. The biker stumbles backward, falling out the window. Frank drops the knife. Her lab coat stained with blood, Frank picks up the microphone.
My fellow Transylvanians, Eddie has left the castle.
Magenta sticks a lollipop in Columbia's mouth. Frank strokes the young woman's pink hair.
Don't be upset. It was a mercy killing. He had a certain naive charm, but no muscle.
Rocky stands in the cooler and flexes. Frank presents her hands, and Magenta pulls off her blood-stained gloves. Rocky sits back down. Frank takes off her lab coat, and Riffraff helps her put on a sparkling red robe.
Butter, deltoid, and a bicep. A horse growing, and a...
tricep, make me woo-hoo-hoo shake. Makes me wanna take Charles Atlas by the hand. In just 7 days, I can make you a man.
Frank hops repeatedly and Rocky mimics her.
I don't want no dissension, just a dynamic tension.
I'm a muscle man.
In just 7 days, I can make you a man.
Linking arms, Frank leads Rocky toward the elevator. Transylvanians throw popcorn like wedding rice. In the movie theater, the audience pelts the screen with popcorn. In the lab, Frank, Rocky, and Riff Raff step onto the elevator.
Going down.
The gate closes. In a bedroom.
Who is it? Who's there?
It's only me, Janet.
Oh, Brad, darling, come in. Oh, Brad.
A hooded figure climbs in bed with Janet and strokes her.
Oh, but what if...
It's all right, Janet. Everything's going to be all right.
Oh, I hope so, my darling. Oh.
Mm. Oh. Oh. Janet faces the figure and pauses. She switches on a light, and Frank pulls off the hood.
Oh! 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 It's you!
I'm afraid so, Janet. Isn't it nice?
Oh, you monster! Oh, what have you done with Brad?
Nothing. Why do you think I should?
Oh, you tricked me! Oh. I wouldn't have! I've never, never!
Yes, yes, I know. But it isn't all bad, is it? I really think you find it quite pleasurable.
Janet straddles Frank.
Oh. Stop. Oh. I mean...
She nuzzles Frank's neck. Janet climbs off her.
Oh, Brad, oh, Brad!
Shh. Brad's probably asleep by now. Do you want him to see you? Like this.
Frank spanks Janet, who hits her back and bolts out of bed.
Like this, like hell. Oh, this is your fault. You're to blame. I was saving myself.
I'm sure you're not spent yet.
Frank twirls Janet to face her. The brunette admires Frank's cleavage.
Promise you won't tell Brad?
Frank throws her down on the bed.
On my mother's grave.
In a basement, Magenta and Riff Raff stare down from a raised walkway. Grinning, Magenta nods to the floor below. Riff Raff picks up a candelabra and descends a wooden staircase. Rocky stirs in his sleep on a pile of rags on the floor. A metal shackle chains one of his ankles to the wall. Riff Raff kicks him awake and brandishes the candelabra at him. Cowering, Rocky tries to blow them out, then breaks his shackle. Rocky bolts to his feet and Riff Raff herds him upstairs with the candelabra. Magenta blocks their path. Rocky pushes past her and out of the basement. They chase him through a narrow maintenance tunnel. The muscular blonde opens a set of double doors and shambles outside in the rain. Magenta and Riff Raff watch him flee down a brick walkway. They close the doors. Inside, Frank wears her hood and climbs into Brad's bed.
Oh, Brad, it's no good here. It will destroy us.
Don't worry, Janet. We'll be well away from here in the morning.
Oh, Brad, you're so strong and protective.
Oh,
Brad sits up in bed and squints at Frank. Flinching, he switches on a lamp. Frank lowers her hood.
Oh, you!
I'm afraid so, Brad. But he's doing nice.
Why, you...
Frank grabs him by the hair.
Ah, what have you done with Janet?
Nothing. I do think I should.
You tricked me!
Brad shoves Frank.
I wouldn't have... I've never... Never! Never!
Oh, yes, I know, Brad, but it isn't all bad now, is it? Not even half bad. I think you really quite enjoyed it. Oh, so soft, so sensual.
Janet!
Shh. Janet's probably asleep by now. You wouldn't want her to see you. Like this.
Ah! Like this? Like how? This is your fault. You're to blame. I thought this was the real thing.
Oh, come on, Brad. Admit it. You liked it.
No!
There's no crime in giving yourself over to pleasure. Oh, Brad, we've wasted so much time already. Janet needn't know. I won't tell her.
Well, you promise you won't tell?
Cross my heart and hope to die.
Brad glances around, then nuzzles Frank's neck. Later, Riff Raff appears on a TV screen.
Master, Rocky has broken his chains and vanished. The new playmate is loose and somewhere in the castle grounds.
Magenta prompts him.
Magenta has just released the dogs.
Coming!
Janet startles awake.
What's happening here? Where's Brad? Where's anybody? Oh.
She runs into the hall.
Oh, Brad! Brad, my darling! Oh, how could I have done this to you?
She enters the lab.
Oh! If only we hadn't made this journey.
But you did!
If only our car hadn't broken down. If only we were amongst friends or sane persons.
But you're not! Two out of three ain't bad!
Oh, Brad! Oh. What have they done with him?
A screen shows Brad with Frank.
Oh, Brad! Oh, Brad! How could you?
Janet lies on the steps leading to Rocky's cooler. She bolts upright and cautiously approaches the cooler. Inside, a shimmering sheet covers a quivering mass. Janet pulls off the cloth, revealing Rocky.
Oh, you're hurt! Did they do this to you?
He nods.
Here.
She rips off the hem of her slip.
I'll dress your wounds.
Janet kneels beside the cooler. She wraps the fabric around his wounded hand.
Poor baby. There.
Rocky stares into Janet's eyes and grins. In their room, Columbia and Magenta pamper themselves. On a monitor, they watch Janet lead Rocky into her room.
Tell us about it, Janet.
I was feeling done in. Couldn't win. I'd only ever kissed before.
You mean she's a...
Uh-huh.
I thought there's no use getting into heavy petting. It only leads to trouble and see wedding.
Janet and Rocky climb into bed.
Now all I want to know is how to go. I've tasted blood and I want more.
More, more, more.
I'll put up no resistance. I want to stay the distance. I've got an itch to scratch. I need a
Oh!
one small fraction of the main attraction. You need a friendly hand. Oh, I need action. Touch me. I wanna be dirty. Show me, fulfill me. Creature of the night. Touch me.
Janet falls into Rocky's arms and he lifts her like a barbell. On his back, he lifts her with his hands and feet. They lay side by side. Rocky rolls Janet onto the bed.
Creature of the night!
Creature of the night!
Janet pats the bed and Rocky hops onto it.
Mercy!
How did it happen? I understood you were to be watching!
I was only away for a minute, Master!
Let's see if you can find him on the monitor!
Frank whips Riff Raff with a riding crop. Magenta opens the front doors, and a gray-haired man in a wheelchair rolls into the castle. Riff Raff watches on a monitor.
Master! Master! We have a visitor.
Hey! Scotty! Dr. Everett Scott!
You know this earthling? This person?
Dr. Scott happens to be an old friend of mine.
I see. So this isn't simply a chance meeting. You came here with a purpose.
I told you my car broke down. I was telling the truth.
I know what you said, Red, but this Dr. Everett Scott is a name that is not unknown to me.
Dr. Scott is a science teacher at Denton High School.
Now he works for your government, doesn't he, Red? Attached to the Bureau of Investigations, of which you call UFOs. Isn't that right? Red.
He may be.
You...
I don't know.
The intruder is entering the building, Master.
He'll probably be in the Zen room. Shall we inquire of him in person? Show him up.
Riff Raff shambles to the elevator. In the lobby, Dr. Scott uses tweezers to take a cigarette butt from an ashtray. He examines it with a magnifying glass. Riff Raff arrives in the elevator. Dr. Scott spins his wheelchair to face the butler. He rolls to the elevator and they ride to the laboratory. Brad glances at his teacher.
Great Scott!
In the movie theater, the audience throws rolls of toilet paper.
Frank? Inverta. We meet at last.
Dr. Scott!
Brad? What are you doing here?
Don't play games, Dr. Scott. You know perfectly well what Brad Majors is doing here. It was part of your plan, was it not? That he and his female should check the layout for you. Well, unfortunately for you, your plans are to be changed. I hope you're adaptable, Dr. Scott. I know Brad is.
I assure you, Brad's presence here comes as a complete surprise to me. You see, I came to find Eddie.
Eddie? I've seen him.
Eddie? What do you know of Eddie, Dr. Scott?
I happen to know a lot about many great things. You see, Eddie happens to be my nephew.
Dr. Scott?
Oh.
Frank approaches Rocky's cooler, where a mass wriggles beneath the sheet. Rocky and Janet stand up, wrapping themselves in the sheet. Brad gapes at them.
Janet!
Dr. Scott!
Janet!
Brad!
Rocky!
Janet?
Dr. Scott?
Janet!
Brad!
Rocky!
Janet!
Dr. Scott!
Janet!
Brad!
Rocky!
I made you, and I can break you just as easily.
Master, dinner is prepared.
Excellent.
Frank walks off. Magenta drops her gong.
Under the circumstances, formal dress is to be optional.
Snarling, Frank goes to the elevator. Rocky and Janet lower their heads, and Brad storms off.
Food has always played a vital role in life's rituals. The breaking of bread, the last meal of the condemned man, and now this meal. However informal it might appear, you can be sure that there was to be very little bonhomie.
I hope it's not meatloaf again. Sorry.
Frank turns on an electric knife. She stabs the roast with another knife and starts to carve. Riffraff fills the guests' wine glasses. Rocky picks up his glass, but Frank brandishes the electric knife at him. He sheepishly lowers it. Riffraff approaches Dr. Scott.
Just a little.
Riffraff pours wine on Dr. Scott's plate. Frank drops the electric knife and puts on a party hat. The audience in the movie theater does the same.
A toast to absent friends.
To absent friends.
And to Rocky. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Rocky.
Shall we?
Frank sits. Magenta haphazardly serves thick, bloody slices of roast to Frank, Rocky, Columbia, and Janet. The maid sets the remainder of the roast between Brad and Janet and heaps meat onto Brad and Dr. Scott's plates. Juices hit the doctor's face.
I came here to discuss Eddie.
Frank waves the knife at Columbia.
That's a rather tender subject.
Frank feeds a bite of roast to Rocky. Oh.
Another slice, anyone?
Frowning, Brad drops his knife and fork.
Excuse me.
Columbia rushes to the doorway and faces them.
I knew he was in with a bad crowd. It's worse than I imagined. Aliens.
Dr. Scott?
Go on, Dr. Scott. Or should I say, Dr. Von Scott?
Now, what exactly are you implying?
It's all right.
But Dr. Scott...
That's all right, Brad. From the day he was born, he was trouble. He was a thorn in his mother's side. She tried in vain.
Dr. Scott squeezes a bandaged teddy bear.
But he never caused her nothing but pain. He left home the day she died. From the day she was gone, all he wanted was rock and roll porn and a motorbike. Shooting up junk. He was a low-down, cheap little punk, taking everyone on a ride.
When Eddie said he didn't like his daddy, you knew he was a no-good kid. And when he threatened your life with a switchblade knife,
what a guy.
Makes you cry.
And I did. But he must have been drawn into something, making him warn me with a note which read,
"What's it say? What's it say?
I'm out of my head!
Out of my head!
Hurry, or I may be dead!
They mustn't carry out their evil deeds!
I did.
What a guy.
Makes you cry.
And I did.
What a guy.
Makes you cry.
And I did.
Frank pulls off the tablecloth, revealing a glass coffin with Eddie inside. Janet runs into Rocky's arms. At dinner.
Rocky, how could you?
Frank pulls Rocky away from Janet, then slaps her. Janet runs out of the dining room to the stairs. Frank grabs her, strokes her hair, then shoves her. Janet slides across the wood floor. Frank kicks her.
I tell you once, I won't tell you twice.
You better wise up, Janet Weiss.
Your apple pie don't taste too nice.
You better wise up, Janet Weiss.
View through a series of archways. Frank drags Janet by her hair. The brunette crawls on all fours. Frank kicks her backside. Brad follows Dr. Scott into the lab. In the lobby, Janet darts into a phone booth.
I've laid the seed. It should be all you need. Your essence will has a pencil. Wound up like an eon of a string. When we made it, did you hear a bell ring?
Janet hurries to the elevator. Frank joins her and closes the gate.
You're gonna block. Take my advice.
You better wise up, Janet Weiss.
Frank kicks her into the lab.
The transducer will seduce ya.
Magenta pulls a lever and Janet sticks to the floor.
My feet! I can't move my feet!
My wheels! I can't move my wheels! It's as if we were glued to the spot.
You are so quick with fear, you tiny fools.
Oh, we're trapped.
It's something you'll get used to. A mental mind game can be nice.
Frank nudges Janet, and she teeters.
You won't find Earth people quite the easy mark you imagine. This sonic transducer, it is, I suppose, some kind of audio vibratory physiomolecular transport device.
You mean?
Yes, Brad. It's something we ourselves have been working on for quite some time, but it seems our friend here has found the way of perfecting it. A device capable of breaking down solid matter, then projecting it through space. Who knows? Perhaps even time itself.
You mean she's gonna send us to another planet?
Planet! Schman it, Janet.
You better wise up, Janet Weiss. You better wise up, build your thighs up.
You better wise up. And then she cries out.
Dr. Scott and Janet freeze.
My God, I can't stand any more of this! First you spurn me for Eddie, then you throw him off like some old overcoat for Rocky. You chew people up and you spit them out again.
Columbia's eyes well with tears.
I loved you. You hear me? I loved you.
And what did it get me? Yeah, I'll tell you, a big nothing. You're like a sponge. You take. You drain others of their love and emotion. Well, I've had enough. You're gonna have to choose between me and Rocky. Huh? So named because of the rocks in his head.
Frank looks from Rocky to Columbia, then nods at Magenta. The maid pulls a lever, and Columbia freezes like a statue. Magenta wears a satisfied expression. Rocky shuffles forward and gapes at Columbia. He looks at Frank, then approaches Janet's still form. Frank nods to Magenta, who pulls the lever again, freezing Rocky. Wearing a somber expression, Frank turns away from Columbia.
It's not easy having a good time. Even smiling makes my face ache.
Ducking under Columbia's outstretched arm, Frank circles behind Rocky. The shapely transvestite sadly gazes at her creation.
And my children turn on me. Rocky's behaving just the way Eddie did. Do you think it was a mistake splitting his brain between the two of them?
I grow weary of this world. When shall we return to Transylvania, huh?
Magenta, I'm indeed grateful to you and your brother Riffraff. You both served me well. Loyalty such as yours shall not go unrewarded. You'll discover that when the mood takes me, I can be quite generous.
I ask for nothing, Master.
And you shall receive it in abundance.
Strutting away, Frank enters the elevator. She stops in the doorway and turns.
Come! We are ready for the floor show.
Magenta keeps Riffraff from following.
And so, just a few hours after announcing their engagement, Brad and Janet had both tasted forbidden fruit. This in itself was proof that their host was a person of little morals and some persuasions. What diabolical plan had seized Dr. Furter's crazed imagination? What, indeed?
Backstage in an old theater, Frank uses a control panel. Columbia, Rocky, Janet, and Brad stand frozen on a stage. Frank pulls a lever, and Columbia comes to life. Unfreezes.
I'm just 7 hours old. Truly beautiful to behold. And somebody should be told. My libido hasn't been controlled. Now the only thing I've come to trust is an orgasmic rush of lust. Said Rose sits my world and keeps me safe from my troubles and pain.
Hey. Brad dances.
It's beyond me.
Draping a feather boa over her shoulder, Janet turns her back to us. The house lights dim. Curtains open to reveal Frank lounging on a giant gorilla hand suspended from the ceiling. Searchlights illuminate a backdrop of the Empire State Building. Musicians flank the stage as Frank and the gorilla hand descend. Columbia and the others face the scene. A layer of white smoke hovers on the stage floor. Wearing a sparkly gold dress and platform heels, Frank sits up.
Whatever happened to Fay Wray? That delicate, satin-draped frame as it clung to her thigh. How I started to cry. 'Cause I wanted to be dressed just the same. Give yourself over to absolute pleasure. Spin the warm waters of sins of the flesh. Erotic nightmares beyond any measure. And sensual daydreams to treasure forever. Can't you just see it? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Frank and the others jump into a swimming pool. Frank sits in a Titanic life preserver.
Treatment. Be it. Don't dream. Be it, don't dream it. Be it, don't.
Janet makes out with Rocky. Brad wades over to Frank, then kisses her ruby lips passionately.
Don't dream it. Be it, don't dream.
Columbia hugs Frank.
Be it.
Dream it.
Be it.
Be it.
Backstage, the lever on Frank's device lowers on its own. Sitting nearby, Dr. Scott unfreezes and looks around.
We've got to get out of this trap before this decadence saps our will. I've got to be strong and try to hang, or else my mind may well snap, and my life will be lived for the dream.
Wearing fishnet pantyhose and gold platform heels, Dr. Scott happily flails his legs.
It's beyond me. Help me, Mommy.
Floor show, Frank dances.
I'm a wild and an untamed thing. I'm a bee with a deadly sting. You get a hit and your mind goes boom. Your heart will thump and your blood will sing. So let the party and the sound rock on. We're gonna shake it till the light has gone. Rose is my world, keeps me safe from my trouble and pain. We'll be with a deadly sting. You get a hit and your mind goes bing. Your heart will thump and the blood will sing. So let the party and the sound rock on. We're gonna shake it till the life has gone. Rose is my world, keeps me safe from my trouble and pain.
Lying on his back, Brad holds onto Dr. Scott's motorized wheelchair as he crosses the stage.
From my trouble and pain.
Wearing future futuristic costumes, riffraff, and magenta approach. Riffraff aims a guitar-shaped laser rifle at Frank.
Wait. I can explain.
Frank whispers to Columbia, then Rocky, and they both hurry off. Frank gestures to the musicians, dancers, and Brad and Janet, and they all scurry off stage. Frank faces Riffraff, who lowers the rifle. Standing before Frank's device, Rocky looks confused. He slams his palms down on many buttons. Frank dons a robe, and Columbia shines a spotlight on her. Riffraff and Magenta sit in the front row. Frank leans against a piano.
On the day I went away, was all I had to say. I want to come again and stay.
Oh, my, my.
Smile, and that means I may. 'Cause I've seen, oh, blue skies through the tears in my eyes. And I realize I'm going home. I'm going home.
Frank steps onto a crane platform and it ascends over the theater seats.
Everywhere, it's been the same. Like I'm outside in the rain. Free to try to find a cave. Cards for sorrow, cards for pain. And I've seen, oh, blue skies through the tears in my eyes. And I realize I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home.
Well, in Columbia's eyes, Frank bows. The Castle Theater audience stands. In Frank's theater, Magenta and Riffraff rise.
How sentimental.
And also presumptuous of you. You see, when I said we would return to Transylvania, I referred only to Magenta and myself. I'm sorry, however, if you found my words misleading, but you see, you are to remain here. In spirit, anyway.
Great heaven! That's a laser!
Yes, Dr. Scott. A laser capable of emitting a beam of pure antimatter.
You mean you're going to kill her? What's her crime?
You saw what became of Eddie. Society has to be protected.
Exactly, Dr. Scott. And now, Frankenfurter, your time has come. Say goodbye to all of this.
And hello.
To Oblivion.
He shoots Columbia. The pink-haired young woman falls dead in the balcony. Riff Raff aims the laser rifle at Frank. Frank collapses. Pushing past the others, Rocky hurries over and lifts Frank into his arms. Riff Raff fires. Rocky sets Frank onto the giant gorilla hand, then charges toward Riff Raff.
Rocky!
Smiling, the muscular creation stumbles backward and slumps against the gorilla hand. He reaches out for Frank, but only their fingertips touch. Stunned, Brad and Janet approach their lifeless bodies.
Good God!
You've killed them.
But I thought you liked them. They liked you.
They didn't like me.
They never liked me!
Magenta consoles Riff Raff. Dr. Scott wheels over.
You did right.
Riff Raff aims the laser rifle at him.
A decision had to be made.
Yes, well, you're okay by me.
Dr. Scott.
Yes.
I'm sorry about your nephew.
Eddie. Yes, well, perhaps it was for the best.
You should leave now, Dr. Scott, while it is still possible.
Yes.
We are about to beam the entire Carson back to the planet of Transsexual in the galaxy of Transylvania.
Riff Raff grins at Magenta, then looks at the doctor.
Go.
Dr. Scott leaves. Brad and Janet linger a moment with Frank and Rocky's bodies. Riff Raff turns to them. As he advances on them with the laser rifle, Brad and Janet back away from Riff Raff and leave. The gorilla hand rises toward the ceiling.
Our noble mission is almost completed, my most beautiful sister. And soon we shall return to the moon-drenched shores of our beloved planet.
Oh, sweet Transsexual, land of night, to sing and dance once more to your dark refrains, to take that step to the right.
It's the pelvic thrust that really drives you insane.
And our world will do the time warp again.
The siblings glow as the room begins to shake. Outside, a spaceship erupts from within the castle. The tallest tower of the castle crumbles around the theater marquee. Brad pushes Dr. Scott's wheelchair to safety. Janet crawls across the ground to a toppled popcorn machine and rests. Exhausted, Brad kneels before a broken wall and stares off.
I've done a lot. God knows I've tried to find the truth. I've even lied, but all I know is down inside, I'm bleeding.
And superheroes come to feast, to taste the
weary couple face one another. Together, they lift Dr. Scott back into his wheelchair. Brad and Janet take one last look at the dilapidated castle. Letters spelling out Science Fiction Double Feature hang limply from the marquee. Dr. Scott wheels away, and the couple follows him. In the study, the goateed man and his assistant look at us.
And crawling on the planet's face, some insects called the human race, lost in time and lost in space. and meaning.
Fade to black. As a curtain call, we glimpse moments of the characters throughout the film. With ruby red lips, sing.
Science fiction, double feature. Frank has built and lost a creature. Darkness conquers.
In the theater, a mouth sings on screen and words appear. Don't dream it, be it.